WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons. This is Reset. Winter's behind us. The land here in the Midwest is once again providing delicious things to eat. And the middle of June means strawberry season. But that's not all. There's spinach, radishes, peas, lettuce. So how do you build a meal with the food that's ready to be harvested, either from your veggie garden or carefully chosen at the farmer's market? Well, Eliza Fournier, Urban Farm Center Director, College of Lake County, gave us some tips and tricks for this season as part of our What's in Season series. I started off by asking Eliza what her favorite thing is this time of year. Here's Eliza.
Everything is so lush. I was just thinking, the spring seems to have gone so fast. So looking even just on the streets, walking down the street and seeing the trees just shading the sidewalks and everything coming up next to the sidewalks and between the streets, it's just so lush and beautiful in our city.
Well, I love farmers markets. Mm-hmm. I go to 61st Street. And
good one.
I try to go every Saturday. Mm-hmm. So, and I've also started buying overalls so I can look the part.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Lean into it.
As I said, strawberries are here. That really kicks off the fruit season. Yeah. I love Michigan strawberries mm-hmm. for Father's Day. This weekend, I'm going to make brunch. I'm going to put a bunch of berries with some creme fraiche. I don't pick. I just buy mm-hmm. from the market. But there are strawberry farms in the region. So mm-hmm. what are the best practices for picking the best strawberries?
One thing that's kind of interesting, and like with everything, the Chicago area has moved into a different zone. We used to be in zone 5AB-ish, depending on where you are in the suburbs, and now we're in 6, which means we're typically a little bit warmer. And if you are noticing the weather, we're also, you've noticed it's been raining a lot. So the one thing is, for the strawberries, it's been wet, and dampness and produce equals mold. And fungus. So you want to make sure that as soon as you get your berries, you don't want to get them more wet than they already are. You want to keep them dry so they last longer. And typically when I go and pick strawberries, it's really 1 to 2 days because they don't typically have any preservatives on them or anything like that. They're super fresh and super delicious. Enjoy that first round, make something out of it, and then freeze the rest of them. It's super easy. Take off the tops, put them in a bag, put them in your freezer so you can enjoy them all season long.
Thank you for that tip, because mm-hmm. I have noticed that, like, I bought two big, mm-hmm. I mean, they're bigger than pints, mm-hmm. and they do seem to go bad, and I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, so quick. Just freeze them right up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've also noticed that the grocery store strawberries are usually big, but locally they're smaller. Why is that?
Typically, we have a shorter growing season here in the Midwest, in California, Florida, Texas, where a lot of these commercial strawberries come from all year round. They have a much longer growing season, much longer days, so the strawberries get bigger. Also, a lot of local growers are growing without the type of fertilizers and pesticides that we're seeing on a lot of the conventionally grown berries. So that also makes a difference. And maybe you've noticed a difference in taste too.
Well, they're sweeter
yeah.
if you get them from here. Not from the grocery
yeah,
store.
Exactly. Because they're right. They're super, super quick. They're right from the farm to your table versus, you know, weeks on end. Because those also have to have preservatives put on them so they can make it all the way from those destinations onto our table.
I'm pretty sure my mom is listening, so I'm going to put my request in for her strawberry shortcake, which Ooh. Is delicious.
Yeah.
But last weekend, I tried a savory dish with them. I took a whole chicken that was split up and I soaked it in, marinated it rather, in buttermilk and salt. And then I roasted it in a cast iron skillet, took the chicken out with the chicken drippings, and then added the strawberries and some balsamic vinegar. And I got that recipe from Grainer Farm in Michigan.
That sounds absolutely amazing. When is dinner next time? I will be there.
Well, I can't exactly say that the people in my household love the dish.
Really? It was something different. It's something different. You know, anytime we try something different.
I'm not sure I loved it, but I did like the strawberries and balsamic. Yeah. And I thought this would be good over ice cream.
100%. That is a very traditional pairing, strawberries and balsamic. Just brings out the sweetness even in a different way. And for like strawberry shortcake, things like that, adding a little bit of balsamic just does something to it that makes it extra special.
Are you into strawberry rhubarb pie?
100%, except most of the time I leave out the strawberries. I love rhubarb. I love it. And I usually just do like a crisp. So it's way easier just with the brown sugar, the oats, and put it on there and bake it up and ice cream, and I'll eat the whole pan.
I have to say that rhubarb feels intimidating to make.
Mm-hmm. It's, if you bake it, it just falls apart and gets luscious and delicious and amazing. I don't love it in a lot of savory dishes, but I love it in rhubarb crisp and I can't get enough.
Well, you brought in some herbs for us.
I did.
And is it better to grow them in a garden or in the windowsill? And tell us what you have.
Sure. So I brought a little container and it has thyme and rosemary and basil and oregano all growing together. So back to your question about whether it's better to grow in a container or whether to grow on the ground, either works, which is the beautiful thing about herbs. If you don't have a lot of garden space, it is a great thing to grow. The one thing I will say is the herbs do like sun. So the sunnier the spot, the better, which is also great because if you have a hot south-facing balcony and you're like, oh, what can I plant? Herbs are amazing. And they can grow in a very small, this pot is probably 18 inches by 6 inches maybe. Super small, but it can fit a lot of stuff in it and it smells amazing. And it also looks beautiful. There's different textures. There's different colors of green. So it's very decorative as well. The one thing I wanted to point out is that different herbs, in order to keep producing them, you harvest them in different ways. So whereas bushier herbs like thyme and oregano, you can basically treat them like give them a haircut. Basically, you don't really have to worry about it too much. Just take off what you want all around. Rosemary, you kind of want to go back and trim like a sprig. Like you see in the grocery store, you'll see there's long stems of it. That's kind of how you want to harvest your rosemary, is basically harvest a long stem rather than giving it a full like haircut. And then basil is probably the most complex because you want to find the spot where the stem comes down and there's two new baby leaves coming off of it. And you want to trim right above that. And then those two new baby leaves will turn into two big branches, which will give you a beautiful harvest all season long. The one thing I'll say about all herbs is you want to harvest them regularly and before they flower. Once they flower, they start to get a little bit leggier. They start to get a little bit more bitter flavor. So you really want to harvest them more than you think you need to.
So we were talking yesterday with the producers about how it can be hard to use a lot of herbs at once. And I mentioned that I read recently, if you have extra herbs, just put it in butter. So is that is that a compound butter?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great way. Parsley, thyme, and basil are all great to do in that way. Oregano would work that way as well. I also just like to freeze stuff. I find I get a lot of parsley. Basil doesn't work as well freezing as a leaf, but parsley works really great just snipping it, putting it in a bag and freezing it, and then you can put it in soups. It doesn't work as well like in salads and things like that, but for soup and seasoning or things like the chicken you mentioned before, throwing it into that dish for a stock, it's amazing. The other thing you can do with basil is you can make a pesto. So basically food processing the basil, any kind of nut, you know, the traditional recipe is pine nuts, but you can use walnuts. You can
use
pistachios.
I've used almonds.
Almonds
taste better to me than the pine nuts.
That's what I love about pestos, you don't even have to use basil. Like, I've made pesto before with kale. I've made pesto before with parsley. Anything that you have, you can make a pesto with. It's basically just a generic name for a sauce, but we've kind of taken it to mean basil, parsley, parmesan, and olive oil. But it's a great way to preserve herbs, and that you can freeze. Once it's a pesto, you can put that in the freezer and it'll last all season long.
So at the farmer's market, I've noticed that the vegetables that are in season right now are asparagus and lettuce. What else can people expect at the market now?
We're right at the end of peas, snap peas season, which are really, they're so tasty. You think there's no way they can be good for you, but they are super, super nutrient dense. So snap peas are a really great thing to get now that you can't really find the rest of the season. So snatch them up while you still got them. Yeah, we're coming to right the end of asparagus. Fava beans are another thing that maybe a lot of people haven't cooked with. It's a really fun thing to try. All of the greens are coming in. Collard greens, Swiss chard, kale, mustard greens, in addition to lettuce. And those just can perk up a salad or any dish, or you can just make a big pot of greens. And I like to mix them together, all the different kinds. It gives a kind of an interesting flavor, especially like mustard and collards. And I throw Swiss chard in there because nobody likes Swiss chard, and I don't want it to be lonely, and I feel bad for it. So I was like, fine, you can go in too.
I really love, and I can't find it in the grocery store. It's not mustard greens, but mustard lettuce. It's like a spicy lettuce.
Ooh. I don't know. I don't know about that. If you're going to find it anywhere, you're going to find it at a farmer's market here in Chicago.
More peppery than arugula.
Wow. I wonder if it's just baby mustard green, if it's baby mustard greens, because you can get like microgreens that are mustards, and they're so tasty. They're so good. Just sprinkled on anything. What else is coming? We're coming right up on fruit too. Blackberries are coming on strong. Cherries. There must have been 5 years ago, somebody must have gotten a cherry tree in my neighborhood, and then everyone got inspired. So while I'm walking the dog, there's cherry trees all along the block. Cherries are coming in strong. They're amazing. Also super good for you. Peaches are starting. And again, we're kind of ending strawberry season. So get those strawberries, freeze them up while you can.
What can't be planted right now? Growing up, my dad had a garden, and he grew, you know, eggplant, peppers, collards, carrots, all sorts of things. And I used to ask him as a kid, can you plant watermelon? And he would say, watermelon doesn't grow here. Mm. He even said strawberry doesn't grow. but it does seem like there are more things locally that are grown here that maybe we didn't experience in the Midwest. Is that?
Yeah, and sometimes like watermelon takes a lot of space. And sometimes if you don't have a lot of space, like I tell my kids all the time, the watermelon doesn't grow here, but I just don't, it'll take over our whole yard. So,
so that's what it is. Maybe. Parents are not telling their kids right. The truth.
There's a little bit of lying going on. yeah, definitely the seasons are changing. We're starting to see some produce coming on earlier, starting to see some things lasting longer. The things that you really aren't going to have great success if you plant them now are a lot of the cool season crops. Like peas, if you planted peas right now, I know I just was hyping up peas big time, but if you plant them right now, it's going to be too hot for them. They're not going to be happy. Lettuce right now is not going to be super happy. It's going to bolt. Maybe you've seen a lettuce that kind of looks long and scraggly. That's because it's too hot and it's just trying to go to seed.
What loves hot weather?
Basically everything else. Everything that you mentioned, eggplants, tomatoes, peppers, carrots, beets, all the greens will hang out all through the growing season. The good news is if you really want more of those cool season crops, you can plant them again in August because then it'll start cooling off in September and October, and you can get fall peas again and fall lettuces and spinach, which is one of my favorite crops to grow from the garden because it's so much more sweet.
I have to ask because I'm sure listeners are wondering, are cicadas affecting gardens?
Well, first of all, I live here in the city and I haven't seen a lot of cicadas.
Well, I'm thinking for our suburban friends.
Yeah,
we don't have them in the city except some of the far corners of the city.
It's really interesting. They're rampant in the suburbs. They're really not happening in the city. The cicadas do not really, they don't mess with, it's
kind of weird. Like, what do cicadas eat? Because it seems like they don't. The challenge that they cause is when they're laying their eggs, but they don't seem to eat anything that we care about.
They're just in the way.
They're just in the way, and they're just dumb, and they're just flying into our heads and things like that. So, and they're just kind of gross on the sidewalk. But other than that, they're not really dangerous to the vegetable garden.
Are there any other pests that people should keep an eye on? I hear people complain about rabbits, which I'm not going to say is a pest, but
they are. Okay. They 100% we can say they're a pest. Rabbits, squirrels, chipmunks, deer, all of those are huge detriments in the vegetable garden. And the only thing that I've really found to keep them off is physical barriers, like putting up a fence, putting up chicken wire, putting I didn't even know that rabbits loved pepper leaves. I came out and my pepper plant was completely naked of all of its leaves. It was just a poor little stem sticking out of the ground. And it was because I had taken my fence and the little fence had disintegrated and I hadn't had time to make it again. So protect your plants with physical barriers. I just haven't seen the greatest luck with, you know, human hair or cayenne or mothballs or anything like that. If that's all you've got, by all means, do it. But the more you can put physical barriers around your plants, the better.
I read all kinds of hacks that people say, oh, they don't like the cayenne.
It's amazing how adaptable these critters are. They will get used to anything and to come for your plants.
That's Eliza Fournier, Urban Farm Center Director. Thanks so much for coming in and showing us your herbs and giving us these tips.
My pleasure.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmad, and mixed by Max Lubers. You can find more of our What's That Season segments and our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Natalie Moore, and for Sasha Ann Simons, thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely